And let's just be all about God's agenda and paying attention to what he's bringing forth. And we're gonna start out with a little reading from a certain scripture, a certain book. Reverend Brett has a passage that he's going to read.
There's a scripture in one of the non-canonical books that were originally in the Bible, the book of Haggadah. And what I'm about to read is reinforcing what Pastor Barbara has taught us, that when God said in Genesis, repopulate the earth, that there are pre-Adam civilizations. And the scripture that I would like to read, if you would bear with me, explains this. It says, when God resolved upon the creation of the world, he took counsel with the Torah. Her advice was this: O Lord, a king without an army and without courtiers and attendants hardly deserves the name of king, for none is nigh to express the homage due to him. The answer pleased God exceedingly. Thus did he teach all earthly kings by his divine example, to undertake naught without first consulting advisors. The advice of the Torah was given with some reservations. She was skeptical about the value of an earthly world on account of the sinfulness of men, who would be sure to disregard her precepts. But God dispelled her doubts. He told her that repentance had been created long before, and sinners would have the opportunity of mending their ways. Besides, the temple service would be invested with atoning power, and paradise and hell were intended to do duty as reward and punishment. Finally, the Messiah was appointed to bring salvation, which would put an end to all sinfulness. Nor is this world inhabited by man the first of things earthly created by God. He made several worlds before ours, but he destroyed them all because he was pleased with none until he created ours. But even in this last world would have no permanence if God had executed his original plan of ruling it according to the principle of strict justice. It was only when he saw that justice by itself would undermine the world that he associated mercy with justice and made them to rule jointly. Thus, from the beginning of all things prevailed divine goodness. Without nothing could have continued to exist. That was from the book of Haggadah.
No, but what's that book?
This book is the other Bible. It's a compilation of all the non-canonical books that you see sometimes in different denominations or ancient texts and scrolls that they've recently found, like the Dead Sea Scrolls and things of that nature. That's all in here.
And this book was written, and they were putting in, that stuff was put in that book because they decided that people would not be able to stand the cruelty of what God was originally going to do. And they wouldn't follow people. So they didn't put this in the Bible we read today, but it is in that the other Bible.
Yes.
This is a very good book. I don't know when I ordered the ones I did. Amazon didn't have any more, but you might be able to find it. It just tells you more about what is really going on and has gone on in the different ages. So it's interesting. But you know, they were right. The people they wouldn't be able to endure the things that's in the Bible, in that book, if they can't endure what's going on right now on the earth. So if they read that other Bible, you know, all those that was in the Bible, they just wouldn't serve God at all. All right. But I thought it was interesting that he found that where God had created other earths too before he created the one we're in right now. Father, I thank you and I praise you, and I truly give you all honor and all glory for all those that came out tonight to sit in your presence to be fed fresh manna from heaven. Father God, we sit before the throne of grace, the throne of justice, and we ask you to deal with us, Father God, as only you can deal with us. Change us Rearrange us, make us into the image of your Son, Jesus, before the new year begins. And Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you that your Holy Spirit's here, that your guiding angels are here. And Father God, that they are ministering, walking to and fro throughout these chairs, ministering to your people, healing, Father. Healing is in the camp. You told me during praise and worship, healing was in the camp. So, Father God, we receive that healing right now from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet and everything in between. And, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Adel, that was here this morning, she said next time she comes, she wants to give the testimony, but she wanted to tell me that, you know, they're saying that she has cancer. But anyhow, she said she was sitting in a chair, and I walked back there and sat down at the end of the service. And I reached up and I touched the very same spot where the cancer was. I touched her in the back where it was in her front. And she said she felt the heat go through her body. And so she's believing that there's not going to, when they check her in February, there's just not going to be anything there. And I agreed with her too, because God is in the healing business right now. He truly is in the healing business. I had one message prepared, but I ran across this and I just felt like I wanted to give this tonight instead. It's by Wendy Alec. You know, she has a God TV station. She writes many, many books. Now I read where she's now directing movies, and she's very intelligent, has her, and very gifted of God, and a very anointed woman of God, and has her hands in many different things. But she titled it, How Jesus is Healing Hearts in the Father's Garden. And as we read this tonight, I want you to just allow God to touch you and heal you tonight. She says, in a vision, I saw a panoramic vista of literally thousands of men and women who had walked through the wilderness, the furnace, and deep waters. They were covered with something that looked like a massive net, similar to what a fishing trawler would use to catch fish. Many of them were struggling to break free, but were oblivious to the net, not even knowing it was there. Excuse me. I said to the Father, Father, what is this net that is so hindering their freedom? And he answered, my child, multitudes of these men and women have, in this past season, walked through so much hell that in order to survive the pain and the trauma they experienced, many went into self-protection mode. Many fell into trauma, and because of the seeming unrelenting pain, many people turned to that which became addictions in their lives when the pain became too great for them to handle. Let's read that again, because I believe there's some in this room tonight that have done that. I said to the Father, Father, what is this net that is so hindering their freedom? And he answered, my child, multitudes of these men and women have, in this past season, walked through so much hell that in order to survive the pain and the trauma they experienced, many went into self-protection mode. Many fell into trauma, and because of the seeming unrelenting pain, many people turned to that which became addictions in their lives when the pain became too great for them to handle. Wendy said, and they became overwhelmed, I said quietly. And the Lord replied, yes, you well know the depths that trauma and pain can take you. I was quiet then. I knew well what he spoke of, for I myself had experienced so much prayer and deliverance, but at the darkest pain would still trigger a desperate need for comfort that I knew only too well. At the darkest times, pain would still trigger a deep, desperate need for comfort that I knew only too well. And if you know Wendy at all, she went through a terrible time at one point in her life. It just about destroyed her. The Lord said, you know I am your comforter. I replied, yes, Daddy. But when the excruciating trauma hits from an unexpected source, I still get blindsided. I then cast my mind back to how many times I have cried out in total desperation to the Lord, saying, Father, no more pain. And I know some of you sitting here tonight have done that. Mantles of pain, loss, and trauma. As I watched this panorama of countless warriors who had been through the fire, I saw that they were dressed in depressing gray mantles, and on these mantles was written clearly, pain, loss, and trauma. For many of these people, the pain had driven them to their knees, while others were fighting through to the best of their abilities but were losing strength. Still others were in so much agony of heart that they were desperately clutching for anything, literally anything that would ease the pain in their hearts, for it was unbearable. Some of the people sitting in this room tonight were there too at one time, and maybe you're still there right now. God said that would they were reaching for anything that would ease the pain in their hearts, for it was unbearable. They clutched at meds that would soothe them. They clutched at love and relationships that would physically dull the pain. And I saw the word addiction. What is this net? I then said to the Father, but Abba, what is this net that they are trying to claw their way out of that is wrapping themselves around them like a vice? The Father answered with such grief in his voice, it is the net of unrighteous judgments, the net of the Pharisees and Sadducees, judgments, and it is not of me. What did God tell us today? Quit judging. Wendy said, I could hear the grief in the almighty roar of the lion, and he said, these people who have judged my sons and daughters have never walked in the paths that this remnant has walked in. And I like the way he called it the remnant. Have walked in. For these men and women that you see have in this past season been so marked by the enemy that they walk in pain, loss, and bereavement unimaginable. Who did he target? These people who have judged my sons and daughters have never walked in the paths that this remnant has walked in. For these men and women that you see have in this past season been so marked by the enemy that they walk in pain, loss, and bereavement unimaginable. The net that you see is a net of misrepresented judgments, of incorrectly weighted judgments, of religious judgments that say, why are you not walking as I am? I have no need for crutches. Look, I am strong. You see that? We are so hell-bent in the body of Christ at judging others when we ourselves need to judge our own selves. And I really believe with all my heart that the reason why we judge others is because we're in such pain ourselves that we have to put the attention on something or somebody else so that we don't look at our own pain. Are you listening here? Then I could hear the Father's roar rise up again, and I could see the Lord, just Jesus, rocking some of those still living with trauma so gently and stroking their heads. And how many times has God said to you, I have you in my loving arms. I weep over you as you sleep at night. He's there with you in your hour of pain and destitution. Can't you talk louder, God? The Father said, some of those men and women that you see here are my greatest warriors and are called to do my greatest exploits in the end times. And yet many have judged them, for they have not walked in their shoes. They have not walked their path. The more they have experienced condemnation, the more the Pharisees and Sadducees have placed their spotlight on their flaws, the greater the condemnation they grapple with. And what has God been telling you? If you're being attacked severely by the enemy, that's how strong your anointing is and how powerful your mantle is. And what the enemy's after is he's after that anointing so he can take you out before you get a sure footing and destroy his kingdom. All right? Just remember this tonight, that the enemy of your soul is after your mantle, after your anointing. He doesn't care about you. He's trying to destroy the giftings that are inside of you. And he'll go to any length to destroy you. So let's read that statement again, because a lot of you in here have strong anointings. You have strong ministries. And the enemy's after you. The Father said, some of those men and women that you see here are my greatest warriors. What did God call us? He called us warriors, right? And are called to do my greatest exploits in the end times. You know, I stop there. Yeah, I look around each service, and the same people keep coming back each service. You know, we have our regulars, but then there's other people come in, and they keep coming back. And the reason why they keep coming back is because God keeps bringing them back, because he is teaching them, and he's encouraging them, and he's strengthening them so they can go forth and do the mighty works that God would have them to do. You think, oh, well, they just didn't have nothing else to do. No. You know, God sends them in because they are still in training, and then God is going to send them forth to do a great mighty works. And you who come here on a regular basis, who are part of the lighthouse, your anointings are so strong that the enemy wants to totally take you out, totally and completely. And he's working overtime on you. Because I'm hearing God say, because you have the audacity to keep coming and sitting in God's presence, even though you're under fire continually. All right, these are my, you see here are my greatest warriors and are called to do my greatest exploits in the end times. And yet many have judged them, for they have not walked in their shoes. They have not walked their path. The more they have experienced condemnation, the more the Pharisees and Sadducees have placed their spotlight on their flaws, the greater the condemnation they grapple with. You know, all right, let's just use Sister Grace, for example. She flags beautifully. I'm glad I don't walk in her shoes, because she has a set of problems that I wouldn't want to carry. Are you seeing this? Nancy's the same way. She's an intercessor, but I sure wouldn't want to walk in her shoes because of what God calls her to do. So you see, in other words, I'm saying don't judge people by how they react, because you don't know what God has called them to do. And their shoes wouldn't fit you. Amen. Freedom. I could see slime coming from the judgmental words, slime that covered the warriors who were at last trying to stand. Then the Father came in the form of the Lion of Judah, and he roared. As he roared, he pulled off the oppressive net with one mighty movement. He blew the false judgments off the men and women, and many of the gray mantles turned into the most incredible iridescent colors. Then a great rushing wind came called freedom, and another that said, keep going, you're on the right track. How many times has God said, do you feel the wind? How many times said, do you keep going, don't quit? God said, you need to understand that the mastermind of the universe, which is God, knows all things, and he is in total and complete control of your life. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you need to understand that that's when he sends his angelic host to you to assist you and to bring you forth through this battle that you're going through. All right? God sees all. God knows all. God is constantly, constantly watching over us to make sure that the enemy doesn't take us out. And if you start going astray, or you're just not really doing what God's telling you to its fullest, believe me, you will have a visitation from the Father. And he will speak to you, and you're not going to like what he has to say. Because he's going to say, straighten up, grow up, and do the things you know you're supposed to be doing. Quit your crying in your beer sort of type thing. Aren't you glad you serve a God like that? One that won't let you just sit down and wallow in your self-pity. One who says, grab yourself by the bootstraps and pull yourself up and keep moving. I'm glad I serve a God like that. I say that because just last night, he chastised me about something. But I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he brought it to my attention. So now I can work on it and grow. All right? If God comes to you and he chastises you about something, don't get mad at him. Just say, thank you, Father, that you love me so much that you're not going to let me be lost in this deep valley that I dropped into. And sometimes it's not nice whenever he comes and chastises you. It's just not nice. But he knows what he has to do to get your attention. I could see the winding road to the Father's castle, and he said, not long now, not long now. And written above us were the words restoration, recompense, reparation, joy, hope, and goodness in the land of the living. God has been promising us that he is restoring us, that he's restoring everything that the Palmer and Kangaroo has stolen. Will you please believe that tonight? Will you please quit second-guessing God? And will you understand that you were in a fierce battle? Yes. But you had to go through that fierce battle so you would be the strong tower that others can run into. How many of you, you know, when you receive God and then as you walk with God, all kind of junk started happening. And you found yourself in situations you never, ever thought you'd ever be in. You found yourself saying and doing things that you never, ever thought you'd ever say or do. And you're saying, my God, what is going on here, Father? Why am I going through this? Why do I have to see all this junk? And I'm hearing God say, so you can restore others who are falling and don't know how to get back up again. All right. Then the entire scene changed, and I knew that we had been transported to the Father's garden. Now these weary ones were lying in the most beautiful soft grass that shimmered like emeralds. They lay basking under the soft shade and cool of the magnificent trees that bowed their branches as if to protect them. Then I saw the Lord Jesus start to wash their feet, oh so lovingly and oh so tenderly, washing away the dust and grime of the long, arduous road on which they had traveled. Ministering angels in multitudes appeared in the garden and so lovingly bound up the cuts and bruises on their feet. Then I saw the most beautiful thing. The angels began to bind up the broken hearts. As each angel laid their hand on a man or woman's chest, I gasped in shock, for literally as their hearts were exposed, gaping, unhealed wounds could be seen. I saw many who had spears piercing right through their bleeding hearts. It was like a hospital scene on a battlefield after the ravages of war. You know, God just spoke to me about somebody just last night, and he said, if you could only see the heart, how bruised and battered and shredded it really is, you would understand why they do what they do. And so, you know, I really believe that we need to ask God, let me see their heart. You know, when somebody's doing something what you call dumb, let me see their hearts, Father. Let me see what's really going with their heart. Because it's because of what's going on in the heart that they're doing the things that they're doing. And God's telling me that as you ask him that, he's going to expose their hearts to you so that you can minister freedom to them and not condemnation. You know, so many of us are afraid for others to see what's going on deep inside of us. We want to keep that thing hid. And as we keep it hid, that gives the enemy grounds to battle you. And what you need to do is you need to have a closet. There's nothing in it. In other words, there shouldn't be anything hidden deep within inside. You should be open so that all can see who you truly are and what's really going on in your life. Because God said whatever's hidden, he's going to bring out into the open. And so instead of waiting for him to do it, because when he does it, then it's a mess. You just need to say, Father God, just open up this closet door and bring everything out into the open. Expose it, Father, and set me free. And you know, if you're in a workplace and people are being cruel to you, why don't you say, God, show me their heart right now. Show me their heart. And let me see why they're doing what they're doing. And when you do that, then you'll have the opportunity to pray for them, to watch them be healed. All right? Instead of boo-hooing to yourself and complaining how cruel they are, say, God, let me see the heart. Let me see what's behind all the junk that they're spewing out right now. Then the King of Glory, Jesus himself, walked in luminous splendor among the wounded, stopping to draw out every spear. He would stroke their heads and whisper his living words of overwhelming love, life, and comfort. Then I heard him saying, thank you. Remember when he told us thank you one night in here? Then I heard him saying thank you to all who had gone through the most ferocious of battles and yet still loved him, even though they were clinging by just a thread. How many of you've really gone through a terrible battle, and you're really just thinking about it, and God comes on the scene in your private chambers, and he says, thank you for loving the unlovable. Thank you for hanging in there when you really wanted to quit. That's such a wonderful thing. God's done it to me many times. He's come and he said, thank you, daughter, for not giving up. Thank you for loving the unlovable. Instead of us thanking him, he's thanking us. Think about that. All right, then I heard him saying thank you to all who had gone through the most ferocious of battles and yet still loved him, even though they were clinging by just a thread. How many of you have cried, God, the rope's ready to break? You know, that last thread. I've done that. I said, God, if you don't come now, I'm not going to be here because that the last thread's there, and it's going to break, and I'm going to be gone. He always shows up. He always comes to rescue his children. Wendy said, I realize that while to others these men and women seem so weak, to Jesus they were his heroes, the recipients of the victor's crown. Remember when God told me, he said, daughter, don't let any man steal your crown. And you know what he was saying is keep on fighting. Do what you have to do, but don't let anybody steal your crown. Don't give in to the things of the world. You know, when people come against you, don't give in to hate or whatever you might give it. Don't give in to that. Just keep your eyes upon God and allow him to bring you through troubling times in your life. Then God stood majestic, oh so beautiful and beyond description. He said, I came to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to set free the captive, to deliver those in trauma, for they have paid a terrible price at the hands of the enemy of their souls, but they have passed the test. Isn't that wonderful? He said they paid a terrible price, but they passed the test. In other words, you might have gone through hell more times than you cared to even think about, but you passed the test, and deliverance came, and Jesus came to set you, he's the deliverer, he came to set you free. Wendy said, I watched as the ministering angels poured a thick healing balm, anointing their hands with oil. Jesus was triumphant, and he spoke again. Before they are released into the call sovereignly ordained for them by my Father, before their conception, I decree rest, rest, rest for their souls. How many times has God told us he wants to enter into his rest? Because he knows how battle-weary we are. And he wants us to quit fighting for a season and just rest in him. In other words, turn the whole thing over to God. Let him send his angels out to fight for us. And we just need to rest. How many of you just sit down and say, God, I'm so battle weary. I can't do this thing anymore. I just have to rest. If you haven't done that, you should. Because I'm going to tell you, when you do that, God comes on the scene. And you feel his power and his glory come over you. And you are at peace. Even though the situation's still there, you're at peace. And you go into perfect rest. Wendy said, as I watched as more and more entered the Father's garden like a never-ending throng, and the crying and muffled sobs were being replaced by laughter and tears of joy. Oh, she said, and I watched. As more and more entered the Father's garden like a never-ending throng, and the crying and muffled sobs were being replaced by laughter and tears of joy. And how many times has God told us to start rejoicing? That he has everything under control? That he's been in our midst all along? And even though we didn't see him, and sometimes we don't feel him, we don't hear him, that doesn't mean that he's not there. How many of you, like me, have cried out in despair, said, Father, are you even listening? Do you even see what I'm going through? Are you really holding me up so I don't stumble and fall. Come on. If you haven't been doing all that, then you need to start doing that. Because God's resurrection power is always with us when we're going through a battle. And God's telling me that so many of you in here tonight, that you have battle scars that you hope nobody ever sees. Because you'll feel like people will start judging you. And God said he sees all the scars. And he's not judging you, he's loving you. And he's bringing you forth into total freedom. Amen. And God's saying, just as I am not judging you, I want you to quit judging others. Judge not, lest ye be judged, is what he's saying, and that's his word. Everything really Wendy wrote is his word. I just didn't look up the scriptures to back it up. But you can do that yourself. God's word is always true. It's always yes and amen. And when God's word goes forth, it ministers to, if just ministers to one person, it ministers to someone. Amen. We need to carry the glory so strong, guys, that doesn't matter what we do or where we go, it'll touch lives. There was somebody here this morning, and I didn't recognize them, but I know them for years. And I was wondering why they kept looking at me smiling the whole time I was teaching. And they were being really boisterous when they left. They were hugging me. And I hugged them real tight, and I felt the glory leave me and hit them. And he left go of me and walked, turned around. He could turn around again. He was crying. The boisterous left, and he was crying. And he said something about, I prophesied to somebody, and it was so true. He said, I wished I would listen then. So you see, just carrying the anointing can change people as they hug you. Are you listening here? I always say to people when they grab my hand up here, if you're anointed, you know, the anointing's already on me. If you're anointed, I can't hardly walk. And I'll say two anointings clash. You know, they don't clash, but they mesh. And that makes a strong anointing. And see, this, you need to be one that carries an anointing like that, that your anointing will just spread out to everybody that you come in contact with. That does not make you a wimp. That makes you a true soldier of the cross. And God said, if you really read your word, you'll see that my true soldiers went through battle after battle after battle, and they had battle scars, but they didn't let those scars stop them or hinder them. They kept on going because they knew what their mission was all about. And God's told us that we forget what our mission's all about. And that mission is about souls. Not about what people do to you, but about souls. All right? Well, I thought that was a very good word. I thought it should be life-changing to you. It really changed me a lot. And I'm hoping you can take that word with you and grow from it. Just don't say, I heard a good word. Grow from it. And, you know, this morning when I said to Brother Chris, I said, God just wants to give a short, what was it called? Words of wisdom. And I was watching Brother Christopher, and he would give the word of wisdom, then he'd just stand there, and I'm thinking, Christopher, move on. Don't be listening for more words. Be obedient, just move on. He did that four times. If he'd have moved on, I would have had to get up and stop him. Why do prophetic people think they have to go on and on? Did the short word of wisdom help you guys? It was exactly what you needed. And then, see, then when we did that, I said, now, if you want more ministry, now we'll do that. But see, we have to be hearing God's voice. And we have to be doing what God's telling us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. I was about ready to throw something at him because he was really listening for more. Isn't that true, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But see, we need to quit being so human. And we need to become more spiritual and walk in the Spirit. I don't care if you thought they needed to hear, I'm hearing you thought they needed to hear more. And I don't care if you thought that or not. That isn't what God thought at that given time. We were just doing what he told us to do. And God is saying all that to say this. When you minister to people, only do what God's telling you to do. There's nothing else. All right, and then see, I was sitting there, and we said, who wants prayer? And Chris was standing right there by Naomi, and God said, I'm going to speak to Naomi. So he started up here, and I said, God used me to speak to her because he wanted to speak to her. Doesn't matter who put their hand up first. He wanted to speak to her. And see, if we will just do that, you know, but I watch people when they come in, and, you know, they put their hand up, and, you know, you might go to four other people before you get to them. They get a little bit disgruntled. But, you know, when I prophesy, I minister, God will tell me, okay, I want to talk to this one. Now I want to talk to that one. He tells me what line and what order he wants to do it in. So if you're just disgruntled because you didn't get, because you had your hand up first and you didn't get first word, then there's something wrong with you and you need to get that together. Some of you sit here and say, God, don't let them talk to me. I don't want you to talk right now because I'm not right. I don't want everybody to know that. And he'll signal you out just like that. He really will. He said, they don't want me to talk to him, but I'm going to anyhow. And I thought, oh, geez, because I don't know what's going to come out when that happens. Are you understanding how God works? You see, God's doing all this right now because we're going getting ready to go into the new year, into the new era. It's a brand, I mean, what things we're going to do that's never been done before. And God's just throwing these last little tidbits in here to make sure that we're fully equipped to go into 2020. All right. I was reading where, was it Wade versus Roe? Is that what it's called? They're doing something about that now. And God told me before President Trump ever got into office that Wade versus Roe would be overturned. So I've been looking for that to happen. It's going to happen probably in 2020, but it is going to happen. Because I know my Father's voice. Are you listening? Just like the impeachment, I said, he's not going to be impeached. Well, he really hasn't yet. And I was talking to Christopher. I said, how does this work? And he was telling me, and then God spoke to me. He said, daughter, it's not over till it's over, and it's not over yet. And it sure isn't over yet. Did you read where the Democrats want to impeach him for the second time? I mean, you know, isn't this dumb? And I was saying to Brother Chris, isn't there some way that we can stop this? So I've been praying about it, because that's how you do it, you know. You stop it through prayer. So I've been praying about it, and I said, God, it's time this junk is stopped so we can go on with the business that is at hand instead of dumb stuff. So this is what you have to do with things around about you. Pray. Take it to the Father and let him tell you what's going on and let him change it. Now, are you really ready to be spiritual? And not still be human? In other words, are you really ready to walk in the Spirit at all times and allow God to use you the way he wants to use you? See, right now I'm sitting here just saying what I'm hearing. And this is what you have to do. You have to be walking in the Spirit where God just takes over your voice and he just starts speaking. All right? And if I'm mentoring you, I'm not easy on you. I'm not going to let you wallow in your mess. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to bring you forth out of your mess so that you can minister to other people. God said there's some in such a depth of depravity that you know, it's really hard to get you pulled up to the surface, but he will pull you up there. He'll get you there. And see, while he's getting you there, you don't lose heart. And you don't go around judging others. You just keep your nose in your field. And then you just thank God for what he's doing in your life. All right? And I'm hearing God say, if you speak the truth to the people, the truth will set you free. All right. Now, I read this, which I thought was a little bit encouraging after Wendy's message. It says from breakthrough to breathtaking. And this is by JoJo Dawson. As I was praying recently, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want to take my people from breakthrough to breathtaking. If you could understand what God is trying to do and what the end result will look like, you would keep going. See that? If you could understand what God is trying to do and what the end result will look like, you would keep on going. If you could truly see even just a glimpse of what God has in store for you, you would not give up. When your breakthrough happens, God does not want to just leave you there. God wants to take you from your breakthrough and into something truly breathtaking. And when the favor of God rests upon you, it will be breathtaking what God will do in and through your life. You see this? The good fight of faith. I believe this is a season where many people are in a time of laboring. Many feel like this season of hard work and crying out to God will never end. I'm guilty of that. But I want to encourage you. Breakthrough is going to come to you. It is inevitable. However, as you wait, you must remember that you are not laboring in vain. Those that do not give up will reap a breathtaking harvest. As you endure through the hard seasons, you will receive breakthrough and move into the breathtaking purpose God has for you. Some of you are in a hard season right now. Keep going. Keep letting God change and rearrange you, because after this is all done, you're going to go into the breathtaking purpose. I remember I heard Kenneth Hagin Sr. say one time, you know, he preached for, I think, 30 years, and God told him, you haven't even begun your ministry yet. He said, now I'm going to take you into your true ministry. You've been in training for these 30 years. It's a long training time, right? And look at the wonderful thing. Look how God used that man, miracle after miracle after miracle. You know, and he didn't labor to do the miracles either. He just walked up and down the aisles laughing, like Rodney Howard Brown does. People would get healed, build out of their seats into the Spirit. All kind of miracles happened, but he had to go through 30 years of training before this all happened. You all want to jump right on in there and be in the head. You don't ever want to start where you should and let God grow you up. You want to be grown up right away, and that's why you get yourself in trouble. All right? Opposition will come to oppose your breakthrough, but you must stay in the fight. Do not back up or give in. Don't give the enemy even an inch. Not even an inch. Remember, you are fighting for the breakthrough and the breathtaking. Remember, you are fighting for the breakthrough and the breathtaking. God will fight for you as long as you do not give up. Well, I might as well give up. I messed up again. Yeah, you sure did. Now you just messed up again by saying those words. You don't say that. You say, God, forgive me for messing up. Thank you for being long-suffering and staying with me as I work through this mess with you. All right? And we're hearing God say, quit throwing your hands up in despair and just keep moving. You ought to be like little Isaiah. He's only six, but I declare he is the strongest six-year-old I've ever seen. And he's not going to back down from nothing. He fights poor Gabriel. He comes at him with everything he has. You can't beat me, I'll beat you up. And he does. And he does. He just does anything to beat him up. And he says that to other members in the household. And he'll say to me, I said, you're going to do what? He said, never mind. You know. He's not going to come and tell me he's going to beat me up. But, I mean, he doesn't stop. He stands his ground. He doesn't care. I don't care how big you are, he says, I'll beat you up. And this is what we need to do with the devil. We need to stand our ground. And, devil, I don't care how hard you come at me. I'm going to beat you up. You're not beating me up. I'm going to make you back down, devil. I'm not backing down. I'm going to go through. And I'm going to get that prize. All right? There is a reason that the Apostle Paul called the good fight of faith, When you have a prophetic word or promise from God, you have a powerful weapon to fight the enemy. See, and you don't even use your prophetic word that you get to fight the enemy. I always tell the devil, I stand in Isaiah 54. And no weapon against me shall ever prosper. And you're defeated, I'm not. I throw that weapon at him all the time because God told me early on that I could. What has God told you can do to the devil? So I just beat him up and destroy him. What word has he given you that you can stand on the rest of your life? He is for me, not against me. How many times has he told you that? I am the conqueror, devil, you're not. Anything that God has told you, you can stand on and win the battle. I have the mind of Christ. I have the blood of Jesus. Are you listening? If God says you can have something, you can have it. Fight for your breakthrough. Did God tell you your finances are going to straighten out? Then you can have that. Fight for it. God tell you you're going to be a praise and worship leader, anointed praise and worship leader? Then you can have it. Fight for it. Don't allow the enemy to come in there and bombard you with his dumb stuff. He is a praise and worship leader too, and he doesn't want no praise and worship leaders to come forth. Because he was kicked out of his position, wasn't he? Come on. In this season, when your breakthrough comes, it will not be like a small trickle of water. It will be like a dam busting open. I'm reading this because God has told me all this. So I'm just reading what this person wrote. Some people cannot step into a breakthrough because of a limited mindset. You think too small. You have to think large, is what God always told me. Think large, you think too small. Think larger. God said you're going to have many businesses, Barbara. Is your mind big enough to comprehend that? Wrong answer. Yes. Yes. Some people cannot step into our breakthrough because of a limited mindset. Our mindsets are shifted when we enlarge our faith and believe what God has promised us. See, you have to enlarge your faith and believe what God has said to you. Then breakthrough is released. As a breakthrough is released, our faith grows, our endurance is strengthened, and we are able to step into the breathtaking things of the Lord. Expect your breakthrough. Expect for the breathtaking to follow the breakthrough. Now, some of you can't even expect for anything. But you have to start expecting the things that God has spoken over your life, that they're already taken place in your life. Already, they really have. And God told me that they're already there. You're just not ready to receive it. You're not willing to receive it. Because some of you are afraid that the higher up you go in your breakthrough, the more warfare you're going to go through. And that is true. But why are you afraid of it? If God is for us, who can be against us? Isn't that what his word says? Don't ever tremble and walk in fear. I can't comprehend fear. Now I'm going to be fought with that, you know. But I really can't comprehend fear. Because God's whole word says that fear not. And fear is not of God. So we just have to erase fear out of our minds. I am no longer a fearful person. There's only one thing I was ever fearful of, and that was climbing a tree. I climbed a tree when I was real young. Fell out of the dumb tree. Got hooked up on a branch, ripped my dress off of me. And when I got home, I got a spanking because I ruined my dress. So I would never, ever climb a tree or anything with heights. And I had to overcome that fear, right, if I was going to walk with God. So we were putting shingles on our house. And my daughter said, come on, Mom, you can get up here. It took me forever to get up that ladder. And I got up there and I helped her do the roof. Then it was time to go down. Remember, I fell out of the tree, ripped my clothes. So she got down, got all the tools and everything. She said, Mom, what are you doing? I said, I'm coming down. It took me 45 minutes to get up courage to go down that ladder. But when I got down the ladder, what did I do? I climbed it back again. I said, devil, I'm going to overcome this fear right now. I climb that roof, that ladder again, and I turn around and I come right back down right away. I can do heights now. It doesn't bother me. I had to get rid of the fear. My daughter couldn't do it for me, no, as much as she was upset with me. Get on the ladder and get down here now. I had to overcome the fear. Sister Nancy Willis had a fear of being in an elevator. You overcame that, right? And she would not get an elevator, but now I think she told me a couple years ago now, she's overcome that fear. She wouldn't sit in the back seat of a car either. Do you do that yet? She overcome those fears. See, we have to work out our own fears. We can't help you work out your fear. We can encourage you by slapping you around a little bit. You know? Like my daughter, get on down that ladder. I'm going to come up there and pull you down. But, you know, we cannot walk in fear of anything. Well, I'm just afraid if I go out and minister, the devil's going to expose my past. He will, if that's the way you think. He will. But if you know that all that's taken care of, you don't have to fear anything, because God won't allow him to say anything, you know, the devil to say anything bad against you or about you, because God has it covered with the blood. Are you listening here? One time I was doing deliverance and the devil said, I don't have anything on you, but I do have something on your mother. I said, shut up. I don't want to hear a thing about my mother. And he shut up. He couldn't say anything about her because I had the power and authority to shut him up in the name of Jesus. You understand this? I remember one time, I'm just trying to show you, you have to be full of the Spirit of God. If you're going to go, you went over the top this morning, if you're going to stay over the top, you're going to have to walk in the Spirit. One time I was doing deliverance on Brother Allen, and that devil, he wasn't going to come out. And I just got on my knees, and I said, this is the voice of God. He come out just like that, boom, just a yelling and carrying on. But I said, you're hearing the voice of God, come out. I don't think he even said come out. I think he just said, he just came out. See, the devil knows if you know who you are in Christ. So you're going to have to know tonight that you have all power and all authority if you're going to get that breathtaking thing after the breakthrough, or if you're even going to get your breakthrough. Now, how many of you sitting here tonight understand the fullness of what God really did to you this morning and the fullness of the calling that he has upon your life? And how many of you understand because of the great calling on your life, which you guys have, the enemy's going to fight you? He fought Jesus right up to the cross. He was right there at the cross, wasn't he? He never gave up. But Jesus said, you can't take my life unless I give it to you. And this, you know, I tell the devil all the time, you can't kill me, because God told me you couldn't kill me. You might harass me a whole bunch, make my life miserable, but you can't kill me. Like God said to me, you know, I couldn't breathe there for a while. I had very difficult breathing. He said, daughter, that's my breath in you. Why are you allowing the enemy to steal my breath out of you? So I had to tell the devil, you cannot steal my breath. This is the breath of God, and you can't steal it. My breathing straightened up. You see how we just give in to the enemy? Everything in you, I'm hearing God say, everything in you has been manufactured by him, you know, God, and not the enemy. And the enemy can only take from you what you give him. If he's harassing you for something, don't let him have it. Make him stop. How do you make him stop? Just tell him to stop. Just tell him to stop. Right? Come on. And how many of you in here tonight, you say, I just can't fight any longer. I've fought so long and so hard, and I'm battle weary, and I'm just going to let you have my anointing, devil. I'm just going to sit down, shut up, and then you'll leave me alone. No, he won't. Because then he has you back in his court, and he's going to put you through hell and back. Come on. So you have to make up your mind tonight. Are you the authority or is the enemy the authority? Are you one of those that's been battle weary that Wendy talks about, and that God is coming now to minister healing to you? If you are, then what God wants you to do is come to the altar, and he's going to minister that healing to you tonight. He's going to heal the heart, the woundedness that's in the heart. And just like he took the spears out of those people's hearts as they lay there on the ground, he's going to do the very same thing to you. And all those scars that are on your heart, he's going to heal. And you will remember them no more. You know, everybody that's here tonight, you've been here more than one time. And I'm telling you, God has been instructing you to come because he is getting ready to move in a fantastic way. And he wants to use you. Do not miss the ship. It's only going to sail through here one time. Do not miss the ship. God's saying, get on board and stay there.